Because it goes along very, very well with what I feel like God has wanted me to talk about this morning. And maybe a disclaimer, this message was not born because of recent happenings or recent catastrophes that we have had, but I came across this probably 2 months ago, and so this is not something to point towards myself or anything like that in recent happenings. What I have to share this morning is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I came across this verse when I was reading about a need that a mission had. And, you know, missions will put this verse on their statement for, I guess, for conviction, to help bring in money and things like that. But this verse is obviously not just tied to money. It goes much deeper than that. And that's one of the beautiful things about being a Christian, is that we are not alone. And God intentionally connects us with believers. And one of those reasons is so that we can strengthen and encourage each other. The text this morning is Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. And I will read that. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." The focus this morning is on verse 2, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I don't want to leave out verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." But I do want to take a look at how the church should respond to each other in difficult things in life. Bearing one another's burdens has the meaning to sympathize with or to assist each other in all our weaknesses, grievances, and trials. Before we get into that, I think it's helpful to understand who God is and who man is, and I'll touch just briefly on that. God's sovereignty, or recognizing God's sovereignty in the world and in our lives and in the church, goes a long way. God is sovereign. He has the supreme and ultimate power, authority, and wisdom to do anything he chooses with his creation. He is in control of all things. Nothing escapes his notice, and nothing happens that he doesn't know about. He exists outside the time stream and is responsible for the creation of all things. He can override in all other powers and authorities, and nothing can stop his purposes. Now, with that in mind, let's look at man and how God created man and who God intended man to be. So after God had made the animals in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "The Lord created first the man and the woman, setting them apart by making them in his image and giving them dominion over the animals." Genesis 1, 26 and part 27 and part of verse 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And the first phrase in verse 28, and God blessed them. So human life is very precious, and God created it that way. He wanted us to be in his image, to have a special relationship with us. This is why it's so wrong to curse others and why God prescribed a severe punishment for murder, is because we are in God's image. We are created in God's image. Nothing else comes close to the creation of man. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And then James 3, 8 through 9, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the image of God. So, knowing that we are created with such a beautiful, in such a beautiful way, in the image of God, let's go back to Galatians 6 and study verse 2 a little bit. And I really love the Greek translation of the word one another, and that Greek word is allelon. And the word allelon has the idea of being together, doing things together, being in harmony with one another. And this Greek word allelon was used over 100 times in 94 New Testament verses. 47 of those verses are give instruction to the church. And over 16 times, it mentions love one another. And then here's a list of all the other one another's that it gives here in the Bible here. And this reminds me of the importance and the value that God places on unity and oneness with each other. Be devoted one to another. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Build one another up. Be like-minded toward one another. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Care for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Speak truth in love to one another. Be kind and compassionate when you speak to one another. Submit to one another. Consider others better than themselves, better than yourselves. Look to the interest of the other. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Stir up one another unto love and good works. Show hospitality one to another. Pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another. And then he has some don'ts as well. Don't lie to one another. Don't judge one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Don't envy each other. Don't slander each other. And don't grumble against each other. So you get the picture. God loves unity. And he loves this allelon picture of being together, being one another. It reminds me of the team acronym, together everyone achieves more. So I have several examples of in the Bible of bearing one another's burdens. And the first one is in Luke 10, verses 29 through 37. And I love the Bible story version of this story. So I will if you children want to come up, I'll do the Bible story version of this, and anybody else that wants to. We can sit right over here. Sit down here on the bench. There we go. The story is the Good Samaritan. Jesus knew it was hard for his followers to love people who were different from them. He wanted to teach them that his law called them to love all people. An expert in the law tried to test Jesus' teacher. He said, "What must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you understand it?" The lawyer answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus said. "Do this, and you will live." But the lawyer wanted to make himself seem righteous, so he asked Jesus another question. "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered him with this parable. A man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers on the road attacked him. They took his clothes, beat him, and ran away. Shortly after this, a priest was walking down the same road. The priest was supposed to teach the law to God's people, to show them how to love God and their neighbors. When the priest saw the man lying beaten on the road, he ignored him and passed by on the other side. See, there's the man that was beaten up, and the priest, he's just walking right by him. He didn't even care. Later on, a Levite came to that place. The Levites were called to lead God's people in worship. When the Levite saw the man in need of help, he passed by on the other side of the road. That wasn't kind. That didn't show kindness. Finally, a Samaritan came down the road. Samaritans were looked down on by many of the Jewish leaders. When the Samaritan saw the man, he had compassion on him. He helped the man by cleansing and bandaging his wounds. Then he put the man on his donkey and brought him to an inn. The Samaritan gave money to the innkeeper. "Take care of him," he said, "and when I return, I will repay you for any other expenses you may have." Jesus asked the lawyer, "Which of these men was a neighbor to the man who was beaten by the robbers? Was it the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan?" The lawyer replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Jesus was teaching the lawyer that it was not possible to obey the law perfectly. The law shows us our sin. The priest and the Levite were supposed to help people obey God's law, but they failed to love their neighbor. We all have failed to love other people, especially those we don't like. But Jesus always lived in perfect love. Jesus loved us even when we were his enemies. It is only by receiving his perfect love that we can be rescued and healed. Okay, you can go back to your parents. The second example is in Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. And I'll read that and give some comments. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Now this man that was lame from his mother's womb, which meant he never walked in his life before, he was very dependent on other people to get him to a place where he could get help. There was people that had open eyes and open ears and saw this man's need. And it says that they daily took this man to the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, I can imagine this man, I don't know if he saw any difference in Peter or John from anybody else that he had previously saw that day or the day before or the week before. But this man was used to begging, and that's how he got his help, was just asking. He was asking for help. Notice that Peter and John saw this man. They had eyes and they had ears that were open to see and hear a cry of help. And that is one of the keys to being able to see a brother in need, is to have eyes and ears that are open and being able to be receptive to and help out brothers in need. Verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. There again, he was expecting just 50 cents or a dollar, or God bless, anything that helps, you know. Anything helps. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What I love here is Peter could have said, I'm sorry, I don't have any change on me today, and kept right on walking. But Peter knew that he had something. And Peter gave what he had. Each one of us has more to offer than what people ask us for sometimes. At times people, most times people want money. Not necessarily here at church as brothers, but what I'm blessed with here is Peter and John gave what they had. They had Jesus Christ. We have the gift of prayer. We have the gift of time or a listening ear, a smile or an encouraging word. All those things are gifts that we are given. And if we don't pass that on to our brothers and sisters, they become stagnant in our own lives. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And the third example that I have is in the Old Testament, and one that we're very familiar with, in Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13, where the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And I love this example. This is probably one of the best examples of bearing one another's burdens. And there's several lessons in here that we can learn from this. And the first one that came to mind is they recognized his fatigue. In order to be a burden bearer, we need to be a burden carer, which I don't know if that's a word, but it rhymes well. And what I mean by that is being able to see the weight that people have on their lives and being willing and being able to care about and want to do something about those things. Aaron and Hur recognized that Moses was getting tired, and they cared enough to lift the weight that he was carrying. And this is what Paul means when he says, bear ye one another's burdens. The second point is they came alongside him. Recognizing the situation is wonderful, but they didn't stop there. They took away and carried the burden that he was bearing. He was allowed to sit down and rest as they positioned themselves up next to them, as if they were saying, I got your back. And they stayed until the work was done. And this part is important, especially in the spiritual aspect. If you leave halfway through and basically say, I'm sorry, you're on your own, it leaves the person or the brother at a place where he's really no better off than he was before. To truly bear a burden, we need to be willing to walk with and stand by a person until the very end. Remember, the definition is to take up or carry away the weight that someone else is bearing. So why should we do this? It demonstrates our love. And this is how we know what love is, because Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. In 1 John 3, 16 through 18, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And it demonstrates our faith. James 2, 15 through 17. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Bearing one another's burdens is where the rubber meets the road. It's where we don't just talk about our faith. It's where we act out on it and show it. So how can we be a burden bearer in our modern life? And I appreciate listening to John Koblenz. His messages were very great in this aspect, and one of the points that he brought out is be a good listener. Many times we miss opportunities that people are carrying because we don't take time to listen. The truth about listening is it takes focus off of ourselves and puts it on the other person. And it requires us to pay attention to what someone else is saying. Be a connector. Bearing the burden of others doesn't always mean that you have to do the lifting of that burden, but you can be the connector to the person or to the group of people that can help lift that burden. Maybe you can't carry the weight of your brother's burden, but you know someone that can. Bearing burdens takes time, work, and effort. Sometimes a situation may take a long time. Sometimes it can be dealt with quickly, but the key is to be available. And then here's where I am probably the weakest at, and us men are for sure. We need to allow others to help bear our burdens as well. And this can be tough, especially for us men. Three words that don't really fit together well in a man's vocabulary is, I need help. Those three words don't go together very well. And maybe Galatians 2, verse 2.5 should read, be humble enough to accept a brother's offer to bear your burdens, so helping him fulfill the law of Christ. So I would like to bless you with the verses in Matthew 25, verses 37 through 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me.